All right, it's Josh Culler here, host of the REI Marketing Weekly, and man, am I excited to announce to you guys a brand new book that is actually coming out very soon. It is available for pre-order right now. It's called the REI Marketing Book. It is literally just a collaboration full of nuggets from 50 of the top real estate investors in the country. It is 100% geared towards helping you with your marketing and your real estate investing business. And how do you get a hold of it? Well, you can simply go to reimarketingbook.com to get a hold of that. Right now, it is available for pre-order and should be published within the next couple of months. So make sure you go grab your copy. We've spent a lot of man hours putting this book together for you guys that is just jam-packed full of nuggets and bits of information about how these guys run their marketing in the real estate investing business. So make sure not to miss out on that. Now let's go ahead and jump into the REI Marketing Weekly for the Who's Crushing It segment. Make sure to take notes and let's make it happen. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And I'm super pumped to have a special guest on the show, somebody that I have actually been listening to for a long time. I've known of Corey for probably as long as I've been in real estate. And we were chatting just a little bit. I worked for Gary Harper and then a guy named Wayne Schaefer way back in the day. So I've been in real estate for close to 9 years now as a marketing director. And even way back 8-9 years ago, I was listening to Corey and his podcast here. And so I'm excited to have Corey Boatwright on the show. Corey, what is going on, my man? How you doing?
What's up, Josh? Thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it, man.
All right, cool. So I'm super pumped because some of the topics that we're going to talk about today, honestly, I don't have a very specific direction in what we're going to talk about today, but Corey has been around the block and has done a lot of marketing. And truthfully, like a lot of what I've heard Corey talk about inside of marketing, just on other shows and his show as well, he has got a knack for marketing. He's a very, very, detailed person when it comes to marketing for real estate. And we're going to kind of pick his brain a little bit and see how marketing has changed and evolved over time, what he's doing today in order to drive deals. And so we're going to talk about that here in just a second. I'm gonna have him introduce himself in just a second, but before we get into it, guys, if you haven't already, make sure you pick up the REI Marketing Book. Corey has his copy. I actually packed your book.
Nice.
And shipped it out to you.
I appreciate that, man.
It had some love behind it.
I appreciate that.
But you guys make sure you go pick it up. So the REI Marketing Book is now fully available, reimarketingbook.com. And I've gotten some really good feedback on this. So hopefully if you have already picked it up, you've gotten some tremendous value out of it. Hundreds and hundreds of tactics from 37 of the top real estate investors in the world, talking about how they run their marketing tactics, strategies, techniques, and the different things that they're doing in their business. So you can go pick it up, guys. It is a free plus shipping offer. Yes, this is a marketing show. You guys are dropping into my marketing funnel so I can remarket to you later. But you're going to get the book at a dirt cheap price as opposed to going to Amazon. So I think we bumped it up to $8.97 at this point after the pre-orders, but still a good price for all the value that you're going to get out of the book. So make sure you go order that, reimarketingbook.com. All right, Corey, let's go ahead and jump into it, my man. Do me a favor, for the people that don't know who you are, introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, a little bit of your background in real estate, and let's go ahead and hop in.
All right. So hopefully there's no lag here because I think you said there might be a little lag before, but hopefully not. My name is Corey Boatwright. I am in Oklahoma City. If you've ever been to Oklahoma, we have more than horses and carriages here. We actually are about 1.4 MSA million whenever you count about 10 different main counties. We market to about 3 to 4 of those main counties. And been doing real estate for over 15 years now. Have under management as a general partner about $20 million in real estate for apartment complexes and commercial. Small percentage of the GP. I'm not a KP or anything. I've got an LP on a couple of deals. If you're familiar in the multifamily space, we have a company called Investing Capital. And we also have another company called Clover Equity. And so we have that side of the business. On the single family side, I do mostly wholesaling as of right now. I do have a very small portfolio of single family homes. In my history, I've had over 60 single family homes, and I've sold a lot of those over the years. and really been transitioning more from single family to the multifamily space. There's a lot of great benefits there. We could talk about some other time, but wholesaling is one of the low hanging fruit businesses. And it has just been really incredible journey in the wholesaling space, really been focusing in the wholesaling space, Josh, for the last about 6 to 7 years. And just, you know, gradually been getting better and better at that business, at the processes, at the team that we have. We have a very small team. You know, we fluctuate between, it seems like we fluctuate between like 10 and 15 people. So if you're in the business, you know, especially right now, it's difficult for the people business. But we do have some folks that have been with us for a while. One, my personal assistant's been with me for over 10 years, and that's been a blessing. But we do about 100 transactions a year, and we're focusing on doing 200 transactions a year, opening a national division. Right now, we focus heavily in Oklahoma City and those kind of four counties, that 1.4 million MSA. But we've been moving out into Tulsa a little bit more now. We've been going out into places like Jinx and you know, other little areas and pockets that we think are hot in Oklahoma. And then we opened up national division, which is about 43 different states, using a national closing company to facilitate those transactions. So real estate's been great, and you know, I'm continuing to rock on that. And you and I really got introduced to each other through Facebook and the social media side, but we're both a part of a really great mastermind group called Collective Genius. My best friend, Jason Medley, founded that group. I've been in there for since the group started. And, you know, so I've seen, you know, some big things happen there. And real estate's always just been something that I knew that I was going to be a part of for a long time.
Yeah. And you definitely have a knack for it. It's very apparent. So that's good. Maybe you're one of those people that's just, you're just madly in love with real estate. You're just one of those sick people that's like real estate. So it, actually it's kind of funny that I bring that up. So one thing that I'm really interested in, because you talked about how you're going into different markets, right? A lot of people that are listening right now, they're probably more than likely, they're probably operating within where they live, right? So the market they live in, but they've definitely heard of virtual wholesaling or wholesaling in other markets that are outside of what they're doing. What are some of the marketing, tactics that you're approaching with in order to open up into those other markets? Like, does it start with opening a brand, you know, getting branding going? Does it start with sending a direct mail campaign or just trying to see how many leads you can get in and getting a feel and a gauge for what that market's going to provide for you? What does that look like if you're going to start marketing in another market as you're going to wholesale?
Yeah, great question. And it's you get beat up in the beginning. I'll tell you, you know, we have not been, you know, doing it that long. We opened up at really the end of the last quarter of COVID year 2020 and been learning a lot since then. One of my business partners is a guy named Sean Terry. I think a lot of people have heard of him in the industry. Great guy. We own apartments together. We've done a lot of stuff together, ran a mastermind together in the beginning days. And Sean started to pivot more towards the virtual side of investing. He had a big business in Phoenix, Arizona, and started to notice that cost per lead was just going skyrocketing high. And that's what happens when more competition kind of comes in. I don't really look at competition the same way. I look at more like co-opetition, but you know, you get more people in there in the space. It just becomes, things become more valuable and everybody's fighting for a lead. And so when you open up virtual, if you can do that right way, which he has really done a great job on and been very successful with it. So I really learned a lot from Sean. And another guy that also been doing very successfully, which also learned a lot from Sean, was a guy named Nick Perry. And Nick's also done a very successful job of doing the virtual model. And in a way that appealed to me in terms of, you know, being able to have these acquisition managers, they didn't have to necessarily be, you know, in Oklahoma, they could be wherever, have a specific training on how to set up these types of markets. How do you go into markets? As you mentioned, what are you looking for? What, more importantly, what you're not looking for? What's really important is how you don't want to waste your money. And, you know, cause it can go really, really, really fast. An accent on the really, 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 and you have to be able to make the most out of every single lead. There's a comment a long time ago that I heard from, a guy, his name is Todd, and he said, no lead left behind. And I think that is true, is that you have to really think about every single lead that comes in. If there's a way to monetize that, if there's a way to do something with it, you got to pay attention to that. And so nationally, you open yourself up to a lot of different dynamics, Josh, that you normally would not necessarily have to deal with. For one, if you're just marketing locally in your own little area, for us, you know, in Oklahoma City, you know, we already know what the population is. We already know which streets are where, hot streets and neighborhoods and all these other things. You know, we know the closing process. We know we're an abstract state. We know how long it's typically going to take to close. We know there's the way the process is on, you know, all these things. When you jump out into another state that has high transfer taxes and they have weird laws or weird things that take place whenever you go to closing, maybe they're their attorney state versus an escrow state where you just go to a title company and then one, you have to have another attorney represent you and all these things, New York and you know, which title companies, which ones can do stuff, which ones they can't. It all is a big learning curve. I can tell you that initially what you really want to stay focused on is most people tell you to focus on the person first, really build that relationship with them, focus on the person. And that's great whenever you're kind of going deeper in your own market because you have the ability to, I think, more cultivate that way. But whenever you're going nationally, you're kind of going, you're going more broad. And generally I'd say go deeper instead of wider. But at the end of the day, whenever you're going nationally, you are going wider. And so you want to be able to qualify the house first. This is one of the very first things that you want to pay attention to. You want to qualify that property first, because you can spend all day long with folks all day long and you won't be able to do anything to help them if they're simply not a motivated seller. And a motivated seller doesn't mean that they have equity. A motivated seller can be a multiple different levels of motivation. And it also just means, are they ready to sell now? And if they're ready to sell now, then that leaves you a pretty good opportunity to look at some different avenues of ways that you can serve them. You know, I always look at wholesaling, particularly even nationally, is as you're providing liquidity to the market. I joke around and say that wholesaling is kind of like the wholesaling, kind of like the pawn shop of real estate. You know, if you go in and you take a $1,000 ring to the pawn shop, do you expect to get $1,000 for your ring? You don't.
No.
Right? You might get $250. You may get $500. And if someone really wanted it for one purpose, they might get $600. But at the end of the day, there's a liquidity market in wholesaling. And you're only speaking to about less than 5% of the market. 95% of the people are going to go work with an agent. So you're only speaking with about 5% of the market. And that's actually gotten a little smaller too. So it is one of those things where you got to pay attention. And whenever you're going into other markets, you have to make sure that you have a process in place.
Yeah. It's very interesting you actually brought that up. So you're saying 5% of the market is typically where you're going after in terms of like actually getting a good wholesale deal because of the analogy you gave that, you know, wholesaling is a pawn shop of real estate. This proves the point that, guys, not everybody is your target demographic. You have to get extremely niche on who you're marketing to, because 95% of the people that are in your market that you would market to aren't somebody that's going to sell you a house. So that's extremely important. That's a really good takeaway and a point that I wanted to make sure we amplified as well. Something I want to go back to real quick, Corey, that you brought up. So you gave a statement, no lead left behind. I want to dig into that a little bit more because this isn't a topic that we've talked about a lot. Now, I know that this could kind of trickle over into a sales process for, you know, a team, say, for instance, like if you're marketing for motivated sellers and then you have acquisitions agents or even lead managers or whatever, it trickles into them, but it's still marketing nonetheless. I believe follow-up is in marketing a lot more than in sales because, you know, you just got to keep touching them, whether that's with more marketing or actually contacting the person. So that being said, dig into that a little bit. When you say no lead left behind, how are you facilitating that? What are you doing to solve that that problem? If somebody actually leads a lead behind, how are you facilitating that?
So whenever you are going, you know, nationally, we can rail on that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You're going to have leads from every podunk place imaginable coming in, even if you're trying to target without it. They're going to trickle in. It's like when you mm-hmm. go to on TV, you're not going to be able to control necessarily to the point of where you can just keep everybody out. There's going to be people calling in from, you know, places that have 500 population. You know, there's mm-hmm. going to be places that people have call in, and you know, it's just every kind of imaginable person. And it's the same when we do a heavy lot on pay-per-click. You're going to have a lot of people come in to click on that ad, fill out that information that may be in these areas that you aren't necessarily wanting to be focused in. But here's the interesting thing. If you have a process and you know what's a green light and what's a red light, right? No, most people don't even have this process down.
Yeah.
They just take it all in, right? They just take it all in, right? And it's the biggest mistake that can cost you the most amount of money. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have a way to green light and red light these leads, right, then you are just going to be wasting a ton of time. And even the ones that you red light have value. See, every lead that comes in is a data point. If they said no for a reason, right? Why did they say no? Well, most of the people, well, because you didn't give them amount of money that they want for their property. Okay, but they did want to sell.
Yes.
And they had a price point of what they were interested in selling for, mm-hmm. right? And so you may not focus on necessarily hood houses in your market, right? But I promise you someone else does. And it's your job to find out who focuses on hood houses and bring over hood leads to them, right? Yeah. Because those are valuable to them. So you've got to figure out whenever these leads come in, what type of leads are there? So we created a whole level of statuses in our business. And these statuses range from not motivated, and obviously the reason why. They range from mobile home, right? And they range from mobile home if they have land or don't have land. They range from mobile home that are in great parks or not in great parks, because actually the park makes the value of the mobile home more or less, which was new information fairly recently to me. But that's absolutely the truth. You have these different statuses on, if they're, too small of a population. So if it's under 10,000 people and they're less than an hour and a half away, which is roughly 90 miles, right? Then that's a lead that's going to be very difficult to put into your normal green light. Let's do something with it, but it's still a data point. So you want to keep track of every single lead that comes in, because whether you can do something with that lead right now or you can do something with that lead a little bit later, you can still monetize. You still paid for the lead.
Yes.
Right. So you have to get very clear on that, some of those processes. And we've got our lead manager dialed in on whenever that phone, whenever she's calling people or whenever that phone rings to her, right? She has a process. She knows to check on the population. She knows to check on the closest city. She knows to check on how many miles away they are. Because investors will travel about an hour and a half away from a metro area. Metro area, usually more than 10,000 people. But you can have a population of 6,000 or 5,000 people if it's 30 miles away from metro. So you got to make sure that you're clear on what that process is, right? And then you can go in and you can look on the map and you can see if there's little hot areas, little hot pockets, things like this, where people are buying, and there's a lot of emphasis on buying and selling. Another thing, Josh, is you want to look at not just the solds, but you want to look at the actives and pending, because the solds are telling you what necessarily happened historically, obviously, right? But the active and pending is telling you what's happening now. And in this market right now, right, it is extremely hot. And so you want to figure out if you can pay a little bit more for that property than someone else that just got out of a guru class that tells you to take 70% minus repairs, minus this, your fee. If you have an old formula, you are not going to get deals in this market. You have to have a formula that is working for the actives and for the pendings right now. And you have to be able to see what people are buying and for how much they're buying it for. So, and it really is, it's more important when you're getting outside of your comfort zone, which is outside of your state. And there's tools that you can use for that. There's tools like PropStream that we're an advocate for. We referred a lot of business to them. There's tools that's Zillow. There's free tools like that that you can use. There is tools like Zome, and there's a bunch of other tools that you can use to find different values at. But you want to realize what's active and what's pending, not just the sold. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And something I want to point out, the last 2 or 3 minutes that you've been talking, you've been talking primarily about data. And I just want to remind everybody, the best marketers in the world base all of the marketing that they do off of data. That's something that everybody needs to understand. If you don't have factual data, and even like he was saying, even if the lead goes red and you know they say, you send them a text blast and they say, F off, I don't want to sell my house to you. We got to figure out what that reason is for. And log all that stuff, keep track of all that, because then you can use that in your marketing tactics moving forward. So that's something I want to point out too, because it's very apparent that, you know, I said that you have a knack for marketing at the beginning of the show, and that this reinforces that you focus on data for not just your business, but also the marketing that you put out, and especially going into these remote markets. I mean, if you're going to virtually wholesale another market, you have to have good data to back your marketing up on, or like you said, you could spend yourself broke, doing marketing. Broke.
You can. Yes. And it's important to reiterate what you said about data. When people hear data, if you're not a data person, you just tuned out. All you want to do is just go get
absolutely.
Deals. You're just a hustler. You just want to go get deals.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, I did 5 deals or 7 deals or 3 deals this month. But I promise you, you go back and you look at your consistency and you have none. Yeah. And the reason I can talk on this with authority is because I was that way. I had no consistency until I started to get clear on where consistency comes from. And consistency comes from not only having data, but understanding your data.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, find somebody that is not that expensive to go in and say, analyze my data. Because I promise you, you probably bought a list from somebody or somewhere, list source or listability or props or whatever. You got a list. And every one of those little columns are a data point. Understand that. Every one of those columns in that Excel spreadsheet, that CSV, is a data point. The day that they bought it, the value, the owner, every one of those things are a data point. And some of those data points can be what's called weighted values. Some of those things are more important than others. Do you think it's more important if someone has missed their tax payment on their property taxes for 3 years in a row versus someone that's been paying on time? Which one has more weight if you were going to create a weighted data matrix on data points? It's not that hard. Even if you scored one from 1 to 5, right? 5 being the most weight, 1 being the least weight. And then you had a scoring system set up on these different data points. What tends to happen is that the more heavier the weight, the more motivated the person. But here's what's interesting beyond that. That may not mean that it's the most profitable. It may mean the more motivated person, but he may not be the most profitable. And that's a data point too.
Yeah.
So which one has the most weight? I can tell you, inherited properties have a ton of weight to them. Probate houses have a ton of weight to them. You know, there's these metrics that you can go through to figure out this. And it doesn't cost that much money to find a data guy. We work with a guy in India. I've worked with him for years and years. We work mostly on Skype, you know, and I can't even understand him when he talks, but he's so freaking good on data.
Yeah.
And he doesn't charge a whole lot, and I can explain what I need, and he gets it done so fast. And we have another guy that works here in the States with us on data. Data is not that difficult if you just understand what you want. You don't have to be the person that does it. You just need to understand what it is that you want. And you got to be able to have some intelligence on your data. It's one thing to just have the data, Josh. It's another thing to have intelligence on the data and use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the three things I always tell people is with data is there's really three steps to actually leveraging data. The first thing is to put out, like you're going to test your marketing, you're going to put some form of marketing out there. So step one is put out. Step two is analyze. So collect the data, analyze it, study it, look at everything that Corey just talked about. And then step three is to adjust and pivot. So now you're going to take the data that you actually, you know, you put out your marketing, you're going to analyze the data. Now you're going to take it and actually implement some form of strategy off the back of your analysis. So those are really, it's pretty simple, like Corey said, but I agree. I think that as soon as you start talking about data, we probably lost about 90% of the audience because people just don't want to think about it. Right. I'm not a data person. I get sick when I see numbers, but I understand that I need to understand data. And like you said, I don't have to know everything there is to know about data. I just got to know somebody that does. That's so right. I have people on my team that I delegate that kind of task to as well. So for you, if you're listening right now, understanding the way data works and how to leverage it for your marketing is very important for you, but it's also a point of you got to make sure that you're delegating some of that process as well. But it's still important for you to know enough just to be dangerous, right? Would you agree with that, Corey?
Absolutely. And you know, there's some people that are just starting, you know, versus some people that have a little bit of money for marketing. And there's some people that have a lot of money for marketing. Maybe they're just trying to make better decisions on the budget. You know, whatever bucket that you're of those three that you're in, if you're just getting started, right, you've got to figure out where you're buying your data, if it's great, if it's good data or lagging data. And then you also want to make sure that you're testing that data with different points of entry, which is, you know, a postcard, a phone call. You know, texting's a little weird right now, but you know, texting has been another way of testing people if you're abiding by the rules properly. You know, you have different mark TV. I mean, there's different ways of doing testing on your data. And you want to figure out who is responding to what. Here's another way of thinking about it. If I send you an email, you go to internet marketing, which I'm a big fan of, and I know you are too. So internet marketing, if I send you an email and I say, hey, I've got this great script, this calling script. This thing is responsible for 98% of our deals closing, and we did $6 million last year. I'm going to give it to you completely free. All you got to do is click this link right here, and then you're going to go and get this call script completely free. My gift to you. Enjoy it. Right? I send that email to you. Now, some people are going to click the link and they're going to go there. They might see a little page that says, hey, here is the script. Enjoy it. Just put in your name and email address and I'll send it right to you. Right? Because I got to be able to send it to you. That's called reason why marketing. I need your email because I got to send it to you.
Right.
So they do that. Right? Some people look at that email and go, they're just going to ask for my email address and name, and I'm going to be on some list. And you know what? I've got a good calling script. I don't need it. Right. Because you did. And then you're going to say, well, the people that opted in, it's called opt-in in internet marketing world, people that opted in to get what's called a lead magnet, this is all the people that were interested in this list. And let's just say hypothetically sending out to 1,000 people, Josh. So let's just say let's just say that 5% of those people, right, said they want out of the 1,000, right? So what is that? 10% of 50 people. 50 people said they wanted out of 1,000. And then you move on. Well, I need to go get another list and send it out to see if that. But here's what you don't do. The other 9,950 people. I'm sorry, 950 people. I'm thinking in 10,000. The other 950 people. You send another email and you include the PDF in the email. You include it, right? Another form of entry, another way that they can consume the information. Consuming the information is really important. So then you click it to them. How many people do you think are going to click and download the PDF? Well, maybe another 5%. The same list that you sent to, right? But now you've got another 50 people. So now you're down to, now you got 100 people. And now you have 900 people left that still haven't done anything with. Now what do? You send another email and it's the script in the email. They don't even have to download anything.
Yeah.
Right? You can. So the point is that you want to come up with multiple ways to hit your hit your list and find out what is it that they respond to. A postcard, a letter, a call, a text, a RVM, what is it they respond to? Don't just, I sent a postcard to them and only 0.1%, if you're in California, 0.10% responded. Well, it's because you haven't hit them with other marketing points. Absolutely. And that's what I just want to say is that you can get them more out of your data by hitting them by different angles.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good example. And I look at myself as an example too, because, I'm a millennial. I'm 27 years old. I'll be 28 next month, but I'm 27 right now. We're going to keep it at that for as long as we can. But, if you send me direct mail, it's going directly in the trash. I don't care what it is, because all of my bills are paperless. So that's the point, right? Like, this is the point he's making, is that if you want to connect with me, hitting me with a Facebook ad or Instagram ad is probably going to be a lot better of a result for you than sending me direct mail. So the point being is making sure you know who's going to respond to what, but also testing that. You're never going to really know until you actually test. And that's why we're talking about data here, is because you test to collect the data and then analyze it and then actually implement something off the back of it. So, man, incredible, incredible conversation that we've had here. Unfortunately, Corey, I'm going to have to let you go. I've kept you longer than I promised, but hopefully we're good to go. But man, some tremendous value. What I want to make sure that we do though, is before I let you go, is for somebody that wants to connect with you, learn more about what you got going on, listen to your podcast or whatever it is. What's the best way for somebody to get in contact with you, learn more about what you got going on? And maybe it's an email or website, Instagram, Facebook, I don't know what it is, but go ahead and let us know how to do that.
Yeah, no problem. So if you want to get on our email list where I send out, different things about every 2-3 weeks or so, you can go to reiprofits.com. There's some great interviews you'll get access to whenever you do that. You will get asked to be opted in so I can continue to have a conversation with you, but I promise you can opt out anytime you don't like me. And you can go to Corey Boatwright, CoreyBoatwright. No E in that, no W. And you can connect with multiple ways there for social media, the podcast you'll see on there. You'll see the way to connect on our commercial or apartments. And so that's good. And then just if you're interested and I want to do some coaching. I take on a few people probably about every quarter or so. And it is application based. If you can go to Corey's Coaching, Corys coaching.com, Corys coaching.com. And you can watch a little video and it'll ask you literally, have you done any deals? Have you done a few? Or are you doing quite a few? As you're kind of put in three different buckets. We'll have a 1.5 minute conversation on there and then see which one that you you kind of fit in. And then there we can have a further conversation after an application if you think it's the right fit for you. So those are a couple ways to connect with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we'll have that. Obviously, all that's going to be linked down in the description below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you go to reimarketingweekly.com. That'll be in the show notes. So make sure you do connect with Corey. He puts out a lot of incredible content, especially on the podcast. That's one I'm a lot more familiar with. But you guys go connect with him. Corey, man, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for dropping all the value that you did today. And I look forward to having you back again soon.
I hope some people got some value. I appreciate it, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Guys, that is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us and listening in. If you haven't already, now is the time to subscribe to the show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, do me a huge favor. Head back over to the homepage of this show and leave a 5-star review with your feedback. I would much appreciate that. And last but certainly not least, I can't get my words out right now, but we're going to finish this. REI Marketing Book, reimarketingbook.com. Get your physical copy. Get the book. You heard the man here. 200 pages of tactics, strategies, and techniques of some of the top marketers in real estate in the world. And that could be yours, free plus shipping offer. So go pick that up today. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. See you later.
Thanks. See you, Josh.